I am award-winning published photographer and journalist Evan J. Thomas, and I'll be bringing you badass artists from the genres of music, art, sports, radio, as well as TV and movies. On the Badass Podcast, you will hear raw, bold, blunt, and honest conversation-style interviews where no topic is off-limits. Check out the show at badassproductions1.com and go to the On Demand tab and pull up the Badass Podcast where you can watch or listen to your favorite show. Get ready, because I am Evan J. Thomas, and this is fucking badass. What's up, everybody? Evan J. Thomas here, Badass Podcast. Also, I forgot the name of the other one already. Sound Story Stages, the history of rock or iconic music venues. Sitting here with Damien of Red Star, and Red Star is R-E-D-D-S-T-A-R. It's to make it easier to find.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's probably a few other Red Stars with the regular 1-D.
Yeah, there's like fucking science companies and shit called Red Star fucking chemist or whatever. So we made sure to throw in the extra D in there so it's a little bit easier.
And it's cool with the logo too. You can kind of play with it as well. So the little star in the middle there. Boom, you're good to go. So you guys have some brand new music out. You guys have actually been around for about now almost... It'll be 2 years in January, right?
As an
official band?
Yeah, I was actually like the last piece. I came in, I would say like April, May, like right in the middle of the pandemic. So like April, May of 2020. So I guess if you want to consider it officially since then, you know, because I was the last piece, you know, the other guys were in there before I was.
So how did they find you, or where did you find them? Like... how did this all come about with Red Star?
So the way it worked was during the pandemic, because my old band used to be managed by Frank, who runs the venue that we're at. And
FM Entertainment, thank you for
shout out to Frank. I miss you. I'm going to fucking...
Is he coming today?
I hope you're coming today, dude, because I told you I'd buy you a drink. Anyway, we were managed by FM, and... I think Vices was still under FM at that time, and right when we signed or announced that, Russ like reached out. I was like, hey dude, like, so you signed with FM, like, fuck your guys shit, blah blah blah. And then we would just like bullshit here and there, and then one day like I was just reaching out, just like, yo dude, like, oh, like it was like right when everything shut down, and like it was like no hope in sight, and I was like, yo, like, hope you guys are like, you know, doing well, because like music was really fucked for a minute, and
he was, a minute,
and he it's a saying, you know. Yeah. But and he was like, hey, like, so me and like these other guys from other bands are working on like this side project thing just so we could stay busy while we can't do anything with our band. So if you're interested, let me know. We're looking for like a dude who can rap and sing. And I'm like, that's like a fucking given to me. Like, what people don't know is I actually used to rap before I started playing in bands. So, like, I was rapping before I was starting to sing. And I always wanted to do something like that. So then when he reached out and said that, and they sent me some demos, I, like, went and cut them that weekend. Literally, like, the day before my birthday, I went and, like, found, like, a studio that was actually open and cut some demos. Hated all of them. I'm like, they're gonna fucking hate them. And then the next day... he hit me back and was like, dude, they fucking love it. They all want to get on Zoom and talk and fucking see what we can do. And it just went from there. And then we literally all met for the first time when we went to Fort Wayne to record.
With Sahaj.
With Sahaj, which is the fucking headliner. See how it all comes around?
Exactly. So I was talking with Sahaj earlier. Obviously, he worked on all of your music, which I finally was told. I knew he did the STFU song. Mm-hmm. So STFU was first played on, I think I heard it on Octane, mm-hmm. is where I heard it. And I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. So talk to me about how that song came about. Obviously, you wrote the lyrics for it and everything.
Yeah, so I actually... fucking Sahaj is like our fifth Beatle in this shit. So like me and him write like a lot together. Like the majority of like the rap stuff is me, but like we work on a lot of like the singing and like the choruses together, because like that's like his fucking bread and butter. And basically with that song, I'm trying to remember how we fucking came about it. I think it was already there, like the verses, and we kind of kept those the same, but then we rebuilt the chorus and the bridge. And that guy's just, it, you know, for a motherfucker like him, he's got like his ear to the fucking ground when it comes to new music, and he throw names at me that I'm like surprised that he fucking knows about, you know what I mean? Like, and he's, and like his ideas and shit are just honestly like, he's probably like easily one of my favorite producers I've ever worked with, because he's just got really fucking innovative with the music, because what we brought him sounded way different than what we fucking left with.
So he produces like a motherfucker then.
Yeah, it ain't like we just
give you a sound.
It ain't like we walked in there and he's like, we're just gonna record this and this is how it's gonna come out. It was like, no, we're gonna like fix this and you suck, so we're gonna rewrite this. He didn't really say that, but fucking, you know, he's like, yeah, this is all right, but it could be better. So then like we'd like rework everything and fucking do it from there. But yeah, I totally love all the shit that we did with him, and we have a lot more in store.
So working with a real amazing producer like Sahaj, there's a lot of bands that try to do it themselves and try to be their own producer. Obviously working with a producer that knows the sound, knows what kind of sounds good compared to yourselves, you can't be your own worst critic. So somebody else has to kind of show you this really doesn't work. How do you see that vibe working with a lot of bands that kind of do it themselves? I mean, do you see that dynamic where, you know, you don't get that kind of, what do you say, flack for kind of doing your own stuff?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that happens, but I mean, I'm the kind of person where I beat the shit out of my own stuff. Like, okay. So I'm very like critical about what I do, and fucking I like having somebody else there, because I'm a firm believer in, like, you know, more like the more heads the better when it comes to working on something, because I am used to being like the guy who writes all the vocal shit and that's normally how it stays. But I like the idea of, again, because like when you work with somebody else, they can come up with something
exactly
way better that you might have never thought of, and that's essentially what happened 9 times out of 10 working with Sahaj. And you know, I mean there are people out there, like, you know, like I watched a lot of like the vlogs that like Bring Me put out, like Bring Me the Horizon, when they're doing their last record, and a lot of it's them doing it themselves, you know, a lot, and mainly like Jordan Fish and Ollie like working together on shit. But it's, I get, you know, it's kind of just one of those things, because at the end of the day, you could think you're making the next hit song and it could fucking tank, and then you can make a song that you think is going to be garbage and it's your biggest song you ever put out.
Exactly, because of the way it's produced and because of who's helping you out and just, you know, the kind of channels you have to go through once the music's done.
And just to throw it out there, I saw Vince wearing sunglasses, so, you know, I felt like, why wouldn't I wear sunglasses? You know what I mean? Like, so, might as well just join the party.
Unfortunately, Sahaj and I weren't wearing sunglasses, so you didn't get to see my beautiful eyes. Actually, you can now, but...
Because it's so bright in here. We have to... There's no way.
We're in what's called the dungeon, and there's a good reason why it's called the dungeon. It's almost like a amateur porn set.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's probably been a lot of dirty things.
I say that all the time, and people kind of probably get annoyed by it now, but it's kind of true.
I mean, there's probably a lot of dirty shit that goes on down here, but I'm not going to probably be kind of tight to be down here and see that happen.
All right, so what did we say it smelled like when we walked down here? Bad decisions.
Yeah, it smelled like tequila and bad decisions.
That kind of fits everything.
That sounds like a Jimmy Buffett song.
Bad decisions. Oh my god, it sure does. That's so scary and sad, isn't it? It probably is. I don't know.
Oh shit.
Bad decisions and tequila. Actually, that might be one of your next singles.
Or a fucking Jason Aldean song. Because he's got tattoos in tequila. That's fucking a banger. Fuck it, yo. If, for everybody out there who hates on any particular genre, fuck you guys. Because I love every genre. Like, there's, to me, there's
dope. You're going to hate me a little bit then. That's okay.
I personally think there's dope music in every genre. So, like...
Oh, there is. There is.
It's not all amazing. But I think there's a lot that people just want to shut it down because it's a certain sound. But they don't really... Like... I'll tell you right now, I used to hate country music. You said country, I'd be like, turn it off. And I grew up in a really, like, white trash town, and everybody fucked with country music. But then, when I started playing in my last group, was when my homies put me on to cut, and they were like rocker dudes, you know what I mean? Like, they like, you know, your like textbook rocker looking motherfucker. And we'd be, and then after band practice, we'd go sit in the car and fucking be bumping Brantley Gilbert and shit.
That's
and
so fucking awesome.
And they'd be like,
oh my God.
And like, and same deal. And I'm still like, I'm kind of fighting it, but I'm like, nah, this is kind of hard. And then we're like, same deal. We're like whipping, like we're like on the road, we're whipping, listening to Jason Aldean, some old Florida Georgia Line.
I was just gonna say, Florida Georgia Line, I can get into.
Yeah.
Which is weird, and obviously, like, there's other rock bands that have been going kind of country a little bit. Lizzie Hale did some.
Yeah.
That route as well, so that's kind of cool. See, for me, I kind of hate on 80s hair metal a lot, but that's me.
See, I fuck with it. I don't, like, certain go out of my stuff. Way for it too much, but, yeah, I like some
there's,
of it.
There's
yeah.
a lot of bad 80s hair metal. And but there's even good, like, disco, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, the Bee Gees, and obviously now, I don't know if you heard the Foo Fighters put out kind of a DG's album, so.
I saw them whipping, like, around some, like, church people or something.
Oh, that was their Bee Gees, oh my God, who was that? The Westboro...
Yeah, the Baptist church people.
That
and they're like on like a truck. They're like, why we all got hate, man? We gotta be about love.
Let's just start dance.
Yeah, you just kick in. That shit was actually really funny. And you could just tell those people are so pissed.
That's so awesome. And so you've been in this band for just over a year, basically, for yourself. Mm. You have this new music out. Has the album been released yet?
No, we're
waiting on that, huh?
We're kind of, you know... Shout out to all the older rock fans, but we don't got no fucking CDs right now. I'm sorry. Like, the way we're doing it is, like, we're doing it a single-by-single basis. So, basically, we might end up throwing it together for a project, but just from, like, the way the times are changing, it just makes more sense to put out, like, each individual song. So then that way, people are just... playing the shit out of it and just until they're fucking done with it, and then the minute they're done with it, we got the next one ready to go.
There you go.
You know, it's like we're like a goddamn McDonald's, you know what I mean? Just like we're just like, hey, just when like you thought you were done with that fucking cheeseburger, we got another cheeseburger right here, buddy. Keep going. You know?
Well, I'd say it's kinda like Marvel movies. It's like they put out one and it's like, oh, that was great. Oh shit, now there's another one tomorrow, and then there's another one like the next day, and it's like boom, literally. Just keep putting them out.
Like so. Black Widow just came out, and now they're coming out with that, like, I don't want to botch the name, but the fucking dude with the rings, and it's like more like kung fu style.
Yes, I saw that,
like Shang Li or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that looks tight. I actually really want to see that one, but yeah, it's literally like that.
And just then there's another one in like 2 months that's coming out. It's some like the, I'm gonna botch it too. It's like the Invincibles or something like that. Something really weird name-wise, but it looks pretty epic.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know what sucks, man, is I used to, like, I fucking seen so many movies, like, in regards to Marvel and superhero stuff, and now there's just so many that it's just starting to get, like, I don't really go out of my way too much for it anymore because it's just, there's so much shit. Like I tried giving WandaVision a shot. I gave Loki a shot.
Okay.
I didn't watch the Captain America and one with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I heard they're all dope. And I liked the shit that I watched from WandaVision and Loki. They were great, but there's just so much shit.
It's a lot of time to consume with stuff, and we have lives. At least some of us do. I mean, there's so many people that act, it's part of their life, and I don't get it. But for me, you know, it is what it is. The funny thing is, my son and I actually host a podcast called the E2B2 Podcast, where we actually do movie reviews.
Oh, cool.
So every 2 weeks or so, we put out a new one. We just did one yesterday, today, with Suicide Squad. So
that was killer. I really liked it. Yeah, the newest one?
Yeah.
I love it. It reminded me of Deadpool. I liked that it was like comedic, but it was very violent. It was very violent.
There was the blood and gore, and there was dick, and
it was weird. And I was worried about John Cena because when I saw his outfit, I was like, "That is so terrible." And then it was weird going into it, right? Because it was like, you know, they replaced Will Smith, but then they kept certain actors.
You had a really bad Suicide Squad the last time.
Yeah.
At least I thought it was bad because it was too much over the top.
Yeah, it was all over the place. But, like, this one, I feel like this one, I mean, this one was, like, over the top in a good way with, like, the giant starfish fucking monster thing.
That was so weird.
But, like, fucking the dude that, I forget his name, like, the actor,
Idris Elba?
Yeah, him. Okay. His fucking character was sick. And, like, his weapons, dude, like, the...
that gun that he popped out?
Yeah. Dude.
Extend out.
So sick. He, and then the other guy, I forget all their names, but the other guy, he was actually in the show Alter Carbon, and he's in that as well. That was fucking great.
Is that Polka Dot Man?
No, he was the guy who basically, he wasn't one of the inmates. He was the guy who worked for
Flag.
The...
Flag.
Yeah, and he had like the fucking yellow shirt on, I think. And then when they're in the bar, he's got the cowboy hat on.
Yeah, Rick Flag.
Yeah, like he's a good actor, so I really liked that he was in it too, but... John Cena was fucking great. I was so shocked.
The comedic timing
he
had.
I was so shocked. And I love the giant shark, dude.
Okay, you do know who the voice was, right?
For the giant shark?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
I don't know who the voice was.
Sylvester Stallone.
No fucking way.
I did not know till the end of the movie when we were sitting there. And I'm like, who was the voice of the shark? Because I saw Sylvester Stallone's name up there. And I didn't see him. I'm like, okay. But when you think about it, the voice of the shark was like this. So that's exactly who it was. I was like, holy shit. So, I didn't know. It was so crazy. And he didn't know until just now.
I didn't know that. Before. I mean, but hey, that's just like how the fucking the dude from...
Groot.
Groot. And I was going to say Guardians of the Galaxy. The other guy, but that's Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But then, the Groot thing. Diesel. The Groot thing, too. But that's, the Groot thing's similar to the shark because they barely have, like, dialogue. So it's kind of hard to tell.
It's just funny that it was fucking
But he's like, when he makes, like, the bomb as fucking John Cena, and he's like, this isn't time to play around.
I'm going to pull it up here.
Yeah. He's like, this doesn't even look like me. Like, that movie was great. Fucking so fucking totally worth watch that shit. It's on HBO Max for free if you have it.
And like I said, E2B2 podcast, we review it, and you can see my review of the movie, which I gave it an okay, a little better than average.
So he's just gassing it up right now, but the real review is on the other podcast.
Yeah, so out of five stars, I gave it a 3.25. My son gave it a 4.
I would have given it. I'm on your son's side.
But there was a reason why, and I thought it was too much over the top CGI at the end. The rest of the movie. I'm just gonna hold it like this after the camera just dropped. But that's kind of fucked up that it did that.
Oof.
So I don't know, what was I saying? That it was too much over the top at the end of CGI.
With the CGI, yeah.
And that big fish, that what was it, Sparrow? Starro.
Yes, I forget the name. I just remember it was a giant starfish.
And it was, starfish. So that was interesting, but over the top. So one last thing I want to get into, and I kind of talked with this with Vince. So favorite music venues. I got a new podcast coming out, Sound Story Stages, Iconic Music Venues. What are some of your favorite places you've ever played, being in, Vices and now Red Star?
Well, Russ was in Vices.
Oh, not you.
Yeah, I was in another band that's not even worth mentioning.
Okay, good.
We didn't
matter. Let's not stay there.
But, favorite venues. Fucking home state type shit. There's a spot called Starland Ballroom in Sayreville, New Jersey. I played there like a handful of times. It's like a 2,300 cap spot. I always love playing there. I'm not gonna lie, I really like the spot that we were playing at yesterday, Pierre's in fucking Fort Wayne. That was honestly it reminded me of Starland. That's why I really liked
it. There's a lot of cool bands coming through that place in the next few weeks too.
Yeah, so, and then there was actually a spot in Austin, Texas that I can't fucking think of the name, but it was really sick. It was, and we actually played there. I played there before the pandemic, and it was like during South by Southwest, how they do that. And it was like the bar was literally like on the main street where everybody is.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was like, and it was cool because everything was open. So then, like, as we just played, more and more people came in. So, like, by the time we were, like, at the end of our set, the bar was just filled, like, to the brim. Because, again, normally South by Southwest is a lot of, like, rappers and, like, pop artists and stuff. So, like, that one spot, fucking shout out to your name because I forgot it. Fucking, it's, it's really fucking dope there. But I would probably say, like, the hometown fucking Starland Ballroom is probably my favorite.
And any venues you'd like to play? Obviously, we're here in Joliet and at the Forge, which actually has a very interesting history, being, like, three different venues in the last, like, decade or so. What are you looking to play in the near future?
Well, when I used to be managed by Frank, I would always see him like sharing the Apollo Theater, and that looks pretty tight.
That's a pretty wicked place too.
So I would definitely like to do that shit. I definitely, now that I'm in a band in LA, I would like to hit like a lot of the LA spots, like the Whiskey and the Viper Room and shit, which Hush Hush might be figuring something out. Then besides that,
have you ever been to the Whiskey or the Viper Room?
No, I've never been to either. When I went out there, we just went to the Rainbow, and that was about it. But like, we didn't really do the whole, you know, history lesson, you know, because the fucking guys are from there, so they're used to that shit.
Yeah, that's true.
But then if we're talking big boy shit, I would have to say fucking MSG, you know, like Madison Square Garden, yeah. Because like, that's like, I mean, if you're like where I'm from, like you do that shit, no matter what, like you're fucking in wrestling or sports or whatever.
Yeah, because you're from Jersey, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you play Madison Square Garden, that's just the mecca of anything.
Yeah, that's like, you know, I don't know what the equivalent, like I guess you would say it's like the O2 Arena in like fucking
Wembley.
Yeah, it's like stuff like that. So that's probably like my big to-do list is fucking do a show in fucking MSG. That'd be pretty tight.
Sweet. So there you go, Mr. Damien with Red Star. You can check out them all over the socials. Red Star with 2 D's, not one.
Not one, not three.
Not three.
Not 10. Just 2. That's
not
3D, it.
3D like the wrestling group of the Dudley Boys.
Nah, but if you don't fucking play our shit, I'm going to fucking hit you with the 3D through a fucking table and fuck you up. So fucking stream
our shit. Wait, we have to do it, don't we? Devon!
Don't put me on the
get
spot.
Get the tables! Come on.
I can't do it. I don't want to disrespect them, man. They're fucking one of the OG fucking tag teams, dude.
They are, but I have the bald head. I can kind of go, Bubba Ray.
Anyone ever tell you kind of look like Taz, dude?
Yes, I have gotten that many times, man. The beard, for sure.
You should have came on with, like, the towel on your head, and then, like... And then you fucking pull it off. Be like, just kidding, fuckers, it's me.
Well, especially now that it's gray, you know, because that's what Taz looks like with the gray beard, man.
Yo, and shout out to AEW, because AEW's been killing it lately.
CM Punk.
Yeah, right there. Dude, fucking.
That is my man.
Dude, I fucking saw that. That was the shit. That was the fucking shit.
So I got to say, I was watching Rampage the other night. Mm-hmm. I was a few minutes behind.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I looked at one of the stupid wet wrestling pages on Facebook that I'm in, the groups.
Mm-hmm.
And it said he's back. So I'm like, shit, I had to go back. I still cried when he came out.
Dude.
And I'm going to admit it. I'm a little bitch when it comes to wrestling.
No, listen, let me tell you something. But before we go, that's what I wanted to do when I was young, before I got into music, was wrestling. I love wrestling. I think it's the coolest thing. I think it's so iconic. I hate... This is the only reason that sucked. Since we're on tour, I wasn't able to see that in real time, and I only saw like the after effect. And I'm like, "Fuck, dude!"
Even a few minutes late, it was just
dude.
Epic.
Even just watching
in Chicago too.
Even just watching the clips, I'm like that. Like the pop that he got, it was so dude. AEW is burying WWE right now.
Though I do have to say, I don't know if you watched SummerSlam last night. I don't think you did.
I didn't watch it,
but. Brock Lesnar came back. Edge came out to the Gangrel music.
Oh, cool.
And then Becky Lynch came back.
I saw Becky Lynch came back. I didn't know about Brock Lesnar, but yeah, wrestling's the shit. That's like I have a whole scheme to bring to one of these companies of how I want to do it. Like almost how they did like the Bad Bunny shit with WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like I would love to do like some one-off fucking thing. I don't want to tell my scheme. I don't want to tell them my script, because then they'll take it and they'll use it for somebody else. I got a whole fucking script written out for how I would do it. That's on my to-do list.
But yeah, CM Punk, I've gotten to meet him twice, so it's been awesome. My son and I had a picture with him like 2 years ago, and dude, it was just cool as hell.
But the fact that he's
back in wrestling to me is amazing.
And if he doesn't fucking fight Christian Cage they better have this over the top fucking match for him, man. I saw he's doing Darby Allin.
Darby Allin in
Chicago
gonna
be good.
Next week.
That's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to that, because it's gonna see what he can still hit. You know what I mean? If he can still hit his fucking where he puts the guy in the fireman's carry and knees him, fucking. Yep. We'll see. That's probably why he's got Darby, because Darby's a small guy, in case he can't
probably
lift
them. So. Yeah, so. So. But holy shit, I could talk now with this guy with wrestling all day long. So, but holy shit, we got to stop, unfortunately. So it kind of sucks.
It sounds like we'll have to do a follow-up.
Oh, next time they're here, we are going to definitely talk a lot
about wrestling. We'll just talk about wrestling. What do you do again?
You know what? Maybe I should get you on a little like podcast or something. We should talk wrestling.
Dude, I can talk wrestling all day. We can do
that all day long. Dude, so again, thank you, Damian, Red Star. Check them out all over the socials. Check them out on this tour with Ra and Awake at Last. They got a bunch of more dates coming up. Check out their music all over the streaming services. Red Star with 2 D's, not 3D.
Fuck yeah. All
right. Thank you again, boss.
Thank you.
I am award-winning published photographer and journalist Evan J. Thomas, and I'll be bringing you badass artists from the genres of music, art, sports, radio, as well as TV and movies. On the Badass Podcast, you will hear raw, bold, blunt, and honest conversation-style interviews where no topic is off-limits. Check out the show at badassproductions1.com and go to the On Demand tab and pull up the Badass Podcast where you can watch or listen to your favorite show. Get ready, because I am Evan J. Thomas, and this is fucking badass.